flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I tasted and I seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near. Thousands elsewhere. Oh, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Better is one day in your courts, Lord. Better is one day in your house. There's no place I'd rather be. I'd rather be here than any jail or hospital or graveyard in town. Amen. Aren't you glad to be alive and know who Jesus is? Amen. Well, we'd like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church. This is our Wednesday night Bible study. And we're just happy that you're here. You may be seated. And if you are here for the first time, we would like to meet you. We have a small connection card that's in the back in the kiosk where you can get one from our ushers. And you can fill that out. Or you can fill it out online at the bit.ly link CGC guest right there. And we just want to get to know you better. If you'd like to learn more about the Bible, that's a good way to put your information down. And we'd give you a call and come out and talk to you about your questions that you might have. And so we're just glad you're here. We'd also like to remind everybody that we have some giving options on the screen. You can give at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can also mail in your offerings and tithes to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or you can text to give, which is my favorite. You can enter in a keyword to that number, 608-719-3883, tithes, offerings, or special speakers and things like that, and it works really slick. I love it, and I just pay, as soon as I see my deposit in there, I just immediately pay my tithes. Anybody else doing that? I love doing that. Just awesome. It just immediately goes right in. We have some announcements to make. This next Saturday, not this very following Saturday, but the Saturday after, July 31st, is going to be a work day. You can come see me if you'd like to be a part of that. We're just going to do some beautification things around the grounds. We're going to kind of straighten up some of the flower beds and do some cool stuff. Set up also for Summer Fun Fest. And so Summer Fun Fest is August 1st. It'll be the very next day. Notice that there says it's from 8 to 12. I'm sorry, can you go back one, Brittany? I'm sorry about that. I wasn't finished. That's from 8 to 12 p.m. I know that there's a little bit of a plan for some axe throwing in that afternoon, so if you'd like to come and work and then go and see Kirby right after that, we're going to do some axe throwing and do some fun things like that. It's a kind of a connection group thing called Take Aim, and so if you would like to be a part of the work day and then go and hang out and grab some lunch, that would be a great thing to do. August 1st, just a reminder, is our Summer Fun Fest. It starts at 10 a.m., We're going to have worship, food, and fun. It's going to also be our All Nations Sunday. So in the sanctuary, we're going to celebrate All Nations Sunday. Brother Fabian Martinez will be preaching to us, an amazing man of God. It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. And we're going to go outside, and we're going to have Spanish-style food. We're going to have beef, chicken, and steak tacos. And I rented a large corn roaster that's going to pump out 500 ears. We have about 1,000 ears of corn we're going to do with the Spanish-style street corn with the mayonnaise and all that good stuff. And if you can't handle that, we have butter for you. But it's going to be a fun time. There's going to be some water festivities and some games and stuff like that. So we're going to have a great time. There's also going to be a car show. If the young guys that I talked to before service could come up here and give me a hand, we're just trying to hand out some flyers. That's you, buddy. And you and you and you. We're just going to hand out these flyers. If you would like to hang these, Okay, you got car show flyers. You take those. Okay, you guys share first. And then if you guys have a bulletin board or a gas station you frequent or some place that has a place where you can hang up a flyer, these guys are going to bring you a couple. Raise your hands if you'd like some flyers. I made a mistake. They shared very well. It's getting better and better. All right. That's what we want to do. We want to spread these all over town just like that. So if you could take a flyer or two, that'd be great. And so also, we want everyone to remember to save the date. August 11th through the 15th is going to be the annual Youth Week. Woo! We're excited for our young ministry, our youth ministry to minister Wednesday night and Section 3 youth rep on Sunday night. I believe that's the young Brother Herman. And so invite someone 7th grade to 12th grade to be a part of these special events and services. See Kyle and Alicia for more info. So that would be a great time to, if you have young people in your neighborhood that you could invite to church, this would be a great time to bring them August 11th and the 15th. And at this time, it's okay if they're all handing out flyers to you while we stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. It might be a while before they're done. I'm not going to lie, I had a hard time carrying them, so I almost dropped them a couple times, so I set them up for failure. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer that the next 30 days of Calvary Gospel Church will be full of evangelism, miracles, signs, and wonders, and we'd see some new people in here, all right? If you have a special need also, we're going to pray for a miracle and a healing for you tonight. Would you just raise your hands right now if you have a need like that? Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. If you wouldn't mind, just pray with your voice out loud for just a few moments to God. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you will touch every single need that's represented by the hands that are shown here tonight. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would invite them to be evangelists again in their neighborhoods, in their workplaces, in their schools, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch these flyers that are being handed out, Lord God. You'll touch this Youth Week, God. You'll touch this Summer Fun Fest, this car show. Lord God, everything that's involved in the next few weeks, Lord God, we need to redeem the time, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would empower the saints, Lord God, to be evangelists in the streets, in the neighborhoods in which they live. Oh God, just give them a special anointing, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. still talk before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. Heaven's all born, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Let's sing that again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor
Church, such a great spirit of worship and praise in the house tonight. So great to see you all on this Wednesday evening. It is so great to have Lenny and Kathy Smith with us. They are no stranger here at Calvary Gospel Church. I don't know, Kathy, I think we first met back in about 1978-ish. 76. Okay, so we've known Kathy since 1976. That was our bicentennial. That's a long time ago. I remember that, though. And it's so great over the years just to see how God moves, how God directs. Don't we serve an awesome God? It's great to have Lenny and Kathy here. And Brother Lenny, they're our missionaries to Antigua. And as I said, they're no stranger here. We have known them, and they've been part of Calvary Gospel Church for many, many years. And it's an honor to have them here. Brother Lenny's going to preach to us tonight, my brother, and preach the word.
Praise the Lord. Let's do that for Jesus. He is worthy. He is worthy. So good to be here. You may be seated. During all this, well, this month coming is, you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. The only way that's going to happen is if you go out and make it happen. You cannot be afraid to pray for somebody. When you see an opportunity, you need to make. And you need to make an opportunity. Amen. Sister Smith and myself, we don't go out to eat except like when we come here and the pastors take us out. But when we do, when the server comes out, if we don't know their name, we'll ask them their name. And we say, we always ask God's blessing upon our food, but we want to pray for you. What would you have God do for you right now? And I say, be specific, because that way you know it was answered. And we've seen people begin to cry and God move on them. People have received the Holy Ghost then. But see, you can make it happen if you want to. You make the opportunity. So if you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, it's up to you. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to step out in faith? One of the first little scriptures we're going to talk about, we're going to see a man, and because of his faith, something happened. So understand, if you want to see these things happen here, you're going to have to do something. It's not just going to fall out of the sky. And I'm so thankful for this church. Back 23 years ago, sitting right there in the second row, wherever that young man is with the black shirt. And there was flowers hanging on the wall. This was a brand new sanctuary. Bishop asked us to teach the new converts, and I was like, yes. And God was saying, no, I want you to go back to Curacao. And I didn't want to go. And right there on that wall, God, it was like a big screen TV. And I was behind a pulpit in Curacao preaching. And then I was driving a bus to pick up people. The one when you open the side door, it falls off. And then I was walking in the grocery store with my family getting groceries. I ain't stupid. I took off running out of here. And by the time I hit the back doors to the old sanctuary, Pastor Keith Manley, he was walking along the side there, and snot's hanging down here, and I'm bawling, going, he's going, what's the matter with you? I got to go back to Curacao. And my life's never been the same. July 19th makes 22 years in Antigua. Do you know I got saved when I was 22 years old? So I've been living for God in Antigua as long as I lived my sinful life. What a God we serve. Amen. So, because of all this COVID stuff, it makes you think about what's really important in life. And I want to prick you tonight, hopefully get you to understand that the most important thing in life is your family, your friends, your coworkers. It's people. It's got nothing to do with all the stuff that we collect. It has to do about you and me. And we need each other. When they tell you, no, you can't have Thanksgiving, can't get together. No, you can't get together for Christmas. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. So tonight, if you would indulge me, I want to hopefully encourage you to think the path that you're on. Amen? I want to talk to you tonight about two that turned around. And we start in the book of Luke chapter 17, and that's a real interesting chapter, Luke 17. And we start in verse number 12, if you would stand as we read this first verse. It'll be Luke 12, or 17 and 12. And as he entered into a certain village, this is Jesus with his disciples walking into this village, there met him 10 lepers, or 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Social distancing. They stood afar off. Verse 13. And they lifted up their voice and said, they should have said, unclean, unclean, but they didn't. Not according to the word. It says, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. obviously they recognized Jesus for who he was and what he could do. And see, if you will live your life according to the word of God, when people see you on the street, they will recognize that there is something that you have that I don't have. Would you please help me? Share with me. Tell me what you got. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated. So we see these 10 leprous men that they recognized that there was some hope here. And they cried out to Jesus. And there's a lot of people that are crying out to Jesus. You just don't know it. But they're looking for the answers. They are crying out because they all need help. They all want some help. And in verse number 14, it's amazing. Jesus didn't have this long prayer meeting. Look at this. And when he saw them, he, Jesus, said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. He didn't pray for them. He said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. That's it. And they obeyed. It says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't get cleansed immediately. They acted to what Jesus told them to do. Go show yourself to the priest. So while they are walking, all of a sudden, when you have leprosy, your skin, basically you're rotting to death. Your fingers fall off. I mean, you got open sores and flesh and it stinks and it's not nice. But all of a sudden, all those sores dried up. And yeah, they might still been missing their fingers and their ears and their nose and whatever else, but it was gone. That thing that had plagued them for who knows how long. And these 10 men were all in the same boat. They all had leprosy. And their flesh was being eaten right off their bodies. And when you have leprosy, you don't feel pain. But yet, you're just falling apart. You're being eaten alive. And as they walked, they were doing exactly what Jesus said. Go show yourselves to the priest. And because of their obedience, all of a sudden, their sores dried up. But look what happens in verse 15. When one man recognizes what happens. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Remember, I'm talking about two that turned around. He turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Now, as we read on, you're going to see that this didn't happen immediately because Jesus is going to ask, well, where's the other guys? Because if he could see him, he wouldn't ask where they were. So they had to be a ways down the road. But when this one seen that he was healed, he turned around, he ran back to Jesus, verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And it says, and he was a Samaritan, a half-breed. The Jews did not look kindly upon Samaritans or Gentiles. They considered them dogs. They didn't like them. Do you know that Samaria was right in the middle of two of their cities, Jerusalem and something else? And they would walk all the way around by the seaside so they could avoid Samaria because they didn't want to go through it. They didn't like Samaritans. But yet, who came back to worship Jesus and tell him thanks? A Samaritan. Verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, they were doing what Jesus said. Go show yourselves to the priest. But this one returned when he recognized what God did for him. There's too many people that get a touch from God and they never come back to give him thanks. I don't know how many of you have prayed this. I might have prayed it a time or two. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I will serve you until the next day. You know how that goes. Oh, Lord, I'll serve you. But then he makes everything good. Oh, cops ain't after me no more. I can just go back to what I was. True? Mm-hmm. So the nine were not disobedient to what Jesus said. But this one came back not only to worship, but look at this. The very next verse, 19. And he said unto him, the one that came back, arise, go thy way, thy, not your worship, thy faith hath made thee. I believe when Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole, if the guy was missing some fingers, they came back. If his ear was gone, it was back. If his nose wasn't there, it was back. Because he was what? Made whole. Back the way it used to be. Because of his faith in God. And if you will go in the faith of God and lay your hands upon somebody that needs something, you can believe and expect a miracle, signs, wonders to happen. But if you don't open your mouth, you won't tell them, I know a God that is able to do exceedingly above all that I can think or ask. Wow, what a God. Amen. So this man was made whole because of his faith, and he got Jesus' attention with his worship. Amen? Now, it's amazing, but in this one verse, a little later on in the chapter, verse 32 of 17, the second shortest verse in the Bible, it says, remember Lot's wife. Okay? In the book of Psalms, we read this in Psalms 80 and verse 3. Remember, I'm talking about two that turned around. Here it says, turn us again, O God. In other words, we were going the wrong way. But obviously, we were going the right way at one time because it says, turn us again. In other words, we were going the right way, and we messed up, and got to get turned around again, and that does happen. But God is so merciful, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Church, we need to realize what's really important in this life, and what's really important are people. When you start reaching out and ministering to people and share that, you know what God's done for me? If he did it for me, he can do it for you. And I can prove that because do you know that when the woman with the issue of blood went and touched the hem of his garment, later on in the same scriptures, you read about all these people trying to touch Jesus' clothes. Why? Because they said, if he will do it for her, he's going to do it for me. And if you can project to the people, he's done it for me. Who am I? I'm nothing. If he can do it for me, surely he can do it for you. Right? So we go on, and let's just take a look at the true story or what really happened in Genesis 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed his face, or himself, with his face towards the ground. Lot's lived, I figured it out, he's lived in Sodom at least 13 years. Because you go back to when Ishmael was born and when Isaac was born and when the angels came to Sodom and all this. He was there at least. Now, he started out in the plains, but he ended up there. But there's a long time from chapter 13 when Lot separated from Abraham and went that way to 19. And so Lot's probably lived in Sodom now 13 years. He knows what his city is like. He recognizes these two men are very important. And in verse 3, we don't need to go there, but it said, he pressed on them, you need to come into my house. Because the guy said, no, we're going to go abide in the street tonight. And Lot's going, no, 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 you don't want to abide in my streets because I know what the men of this city will do to you. And he pressed them hard saying, you need to come to my house under my protection and I will feed you. I will give you what you have need of. And in verse 12, it goes on to say, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And Lot believed it. When they told Lot, you need to get your family. What did I tell you is the most important thing in this world? Family, each other. So they told Lot, if there's anybody that you know of, you need to get them out of this place. So in verse 14, it says that Lot went out trying to convince his family members, you got to get out of here. And tonight, you need to leave. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. He believed it. He understood that it ain't going to be no more tomorrow. He said, get out of town now, for the Lord will destroy this city. But Lot seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. In other words, they just thought he was like drunk. Oh, you had too much wine and too much this and you're crazy. God ain't going to destroy nothing. We're staying right here. We ain't going no place. But look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, now the sun ain't gone up yet. That comes later. It's still dark out yet. But the morning's coming. Arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. In other words, we got to leave, and we got to leave now. Verse 16, and this is where I need my help. So help come. Look at verse 16. And while he, Lot, lingered, the men, the two angels, over here, help. Over here, help. Sorry, but this is Sodom, okay? You just get over there. And when he lingered, Lot lingered, and the men laid hold upon his hand. Now, look at this. I want you to, you've probably read this umpteen times, but you never really understood it. Laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought them forth and set him without the city. Come on, Lot. And Lot's wife. And come on, grab their hands. You know, one. And they were carrying them or dragging them or saying, come on, guys, we got to get out of town now. And they took them by the hand. You read, didn't I? Is that what it said? By the hand. They took each of them by the hand. But it said they were lingering. Thank you. But remember how they left. The angels were hanging on to one hand. So all they had left was one free hand. Okay, you can be seated. Now, we've traveled to Antigua 22 years. You get two of these each. So each person gets two of these trunks. Ladies, how would you like to pack for 6 months and put all that you want for 6 months into these little boxes. Huh? You guys probably pack more for 1 week's time of travel. Am I not right? We had a Leverian conference in Antigua 1 year, and we had extra rooms, and we let the people from the other islands, some of them anyway, stay at our place. One young lady, man, she brought more shoes than mom has herself. And she's going to a 3-day conference? Come on. I can't figure it out. Now, when it said, put that back up where they were lingering. I think it was 16. Lay hold upon it. Yeah. And while he lingered, I can almost guarantee you that Lot and his family had this big pile of stuff by the door. And they're trying to figure out, just what are we going to take? We're not coming back home. What are we going to take? And now I showed you what the scripture said. The angel took one hand in one hand. That means all they had left was one hand. And I can guarantee you they didn't have a nice big trunk like this. They'd be lucky if they had a little bag of stuff. So their other hand might have a little bit of stuff. They might have had nothing. And this wasn't for 6 months. This is for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Uh-huh. Think about it. Now, if you go back to Luke, prior to where Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Verse 26 of Luke says there that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Amen. Also in the Son of Man. And then verse 28 says, look at this, verse 28 talks about Lot. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink. Okay? So he makes mention, Jesus makes mention of Noah and Lot, like it was in those days. But now look at verse 30. Pay close attention. See, I didn't take remember Lot's wife out of context. I'm trying to keep everything in context. Look what it says in verse 30. Even thou shalt it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, when Jesus comes back and everybody goes, oh, the Lord. When he comes back and you see him. But what does he tell the people to be concerned about? Glad you asked. Verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. I'm not concerned about your stuff. I'm concerned about you. God wants you, not your stuff. Amen? Look what else it says. Okay, take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, whatever state you're in when this happens, one, you ain't taking nothing with you, and two, we're going home. And then look what it says, verse 32. He just gets done telling you this stuff. He says, remember Lot's wife. Church, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Not too long ago, I preached for a pastor and we were having lunch and he was sharing things that happened. This is in Wisconsin. This is in the U.S., not in Antigua. This happened here, not all that long ago. And he shared with me that during this COVID thing and the lockdown and all this stuff and you couldn't come to church and people want to be around people. They don't want to see you on Zoom. want to be able to touch you, minister to you, not talk to you through something. And if that's all we can do, so be it. But that ain't effective like one-on-one in person. You'll never convince me of that. But anyway, this pastor, when we were just talking about all the stuff we had to deal with, and he said he had a number of people in his church. They said, "Pastor, we can't social. We got a social distance and all the garbage, and we want to spend time with our family." So they spent all this money on a boat. Another one spent all this money on a camper. And pastor's going, "Nah, I don't think, you know, the times we're living in and all this stuff going on, you really ain't sure about what's going to happen. I wouldn't be doing all that." And guess what? Some of those people that spent money on boats and on campers, those people that did that, they were faithful. They came to every service. They didn't miss church. But now, I got all this money invested. I got to use my camper. I got to use my boat. Remember Lot's wife. The only vacation my family and Ben here can testify to it that we took with our kids was we all went to family camp. We didn't miss it. We were there every year. We went to family camp. Never went on any other vacation except one time in 1995. Bought a brand new Ford Windstar, this little pop-up camper. I always wanted to go out to California, see them big sequoia trees, you know, 300 feet tall. And we didn't go to one resort. We had our little pop-up. We went to all the national parks that we could. And we took 3.5 weeks, 8,500 miles. And in those 3.5 weeks, we missed church one time midweek because we was in the middle of nowhere where there was nothing to even have a church. We made church every time church was. We didn't go on vacation from God. We didn't. We made sure we were someplace where we could go to church every time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'll tell you how important that is. We just got to the Bighorn Mountains at the base of the Bighorn. Beautiful. I mean, they just go up and they're beautiful. There's this little town right at the bottom of the Bighorn Mountains. And we had the directory, and then you had to use a phone booth. There was no cell phones and there was no GPS garbage. If you got lost, you got lost. There was no way to help you. That's the way it was, and you had to go to a phone booth. And we called the pastor. He says, "Man, I'm only 3 blocks from where you're setting your tent up." And it's like, great. So we, man, the kids, they could get it done 5 to 10 minutes, man. That little pop-up was just, everybody knew what to do. We put on our good clothes, and we took off to church. When we walked in, it was a fairly good-sized building. When we walked in there, there was a family sitting here, family sitting there. And a pastor's family. And we come in, pastor preached. It was an awesome message. I don't remember what it was about, but it was good. It made me feel good. It's just like, yeah. And we shook hands with everybody after service and greeted them and told them where we were from and what we were doing. We were on this vacation. And the pastor, he lived in the basement of the church. He says, "Would you come downstairs and, you know, we can fellowship a little bit. I'll feed you something." I was like, "Yeah, we'll go downstairs." He said, "Well, let me share something with you." And this is a Gideon prayer. This is a Gideon prayer. He goes, "Oh, and the two families that were in the church, you know where they were from? Wisconsin. They lived there, but they were originally from Wisconsin. So guess who shows up? Somebody from Wisconsin." But this is what pastor prayed. He said, "Tonight was my last service." That was it. But I prayed. I said, "Lord, if you want me to stay here and pastor this church, I want a family, not a person, a family from Wisconsin to show up." Right. Like that. That's a Gideon prayer, man. A family from Wisconsin at the base of the Bighorn Mountains, and it's got to be tonight. And we had about 5 minutes to spare, but we got there. And it was tremendous. But if we would have just said, we can pray, we can read our Bible, we don't need to make it to church, what would have happened to that congregation? What would have happened to that pastor? And we didn't know nothing. We just were happy to be able to go to church. It's like, man, there's a church here. Let's go. And because of our obedience to the word of God, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We weren't going to miss church for nothing. And we just had an awesome time. Amen? It was just nice. So I want to share a few more scriptures with you. But I hope you understand that in this whole context, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, if you're on the housetop, don't come down to get nothing. Zero. We're going home. And you ain't taking nothing with you anyway. So don't put a high value on the stuff you have. Look at this. In Galatians 5 and 1. It says, stand fast. You know what that is? That means you're going to stand there and you're going to get hit and bombarded and beat up. But it says, stand. You ain't moving me off a dead center, man. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you, or made us, free. And be not what? Entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's where God took us from. The bondage of this world. Why you want to go back to it? Do you know everything that you own? You are a servant and a slave to it. You own a vehicle. Guess what? When it breaks, ain't nobody else going to say, oh, Brother Kapashu, I'm going to fix your vehicle. Guess what? You get to fix it. You buy a lawnmower to mow your grass. Somebody's got to sharpen the blade and somebody's got to take care of it. You got a nice house. You got to wash the windows and wash the floor and do this. And everything that you own, you got clothes. Hopefully you got clothes, you know, but you got to wash them things too. So everything that you own, you become a servant to. So why do you want to have all this stuff? There's a neat little website on YouTube. It's called Tiny House or Little House. These people that had these mansions, and they sold everything, and they moved to these little dinky houses because they're so sick of taking care of all that stuff. And according to the Word of God, we're supposed to not worry about it either. Amen? 1 John, next one. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what are you loving? The things of this world, or are you loving people? See, when you love people, you'll go out of your way to minister unto them, to help them, to do something for them. Because why? Because my love ain't for the stuff. My love is, I want to see you make it to heaven. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you make it. And see, all we can take to heaven with us is what? The souls of men and women. That's all I can take to heaven is the souls of men and women. So why not put our efforts and our strength and our time in reaching this world? The Bible clearly tells us over and over again, don't put too much value on all this stuff. Because what's really important are the people. That's why when it said, go ahead, clap unto the Lord. When Jesus looked out on the crowds of people over and over again, it said he had compassion on them. Did he meet their needs? Yeah. One time he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. There's probably 20,000 people there. What a big lunch wagon. And the same way with 4,000. He's seen them. They were, I think it was the 4,000, they were 3 days with him in a desert place. And he says, like, man, I got to get these guys some food. I'm not going to leave them without meeting their physical need. And he did. And everybody was just, wow. And see, God can meet our physical need, our spiritual need, our financial need, our mental needs. Anything you have need of, he can take care of it. But we don't need excessive anything. And we've learned, the older you get, the more you learn that, man, when we went to Antigua, we had nothing. We had 8 trunks. The 2 boys had their 2, and Mom and me had our 2. And so we had 8 trunks, and we lived out of them for over 6 months. And Missionary Cole, he rented us this little 400 or 500 square foot apartment that was furnished. The fry pan, I think it was a Jiffy Pot popcorn pan. Everything you put in it burned. It was disgusting. The fridge and freezer was about this tall and about this wide. And you had to defrost the freezer once a week because it just filled up with ice. We didn't have no wash machine. I washed clothes for 1.5 years by hand. You wring out blue jeans. That's not nice. It don't work so easy. But I ain't going to pay the money, and we didn't have the money. It was the ladies of Wisconsin that bought us a wash machine. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Little did you know a guy would thank Jesus for a wash machine, but I was thankful because then I didn't have to wash him by hand anymore. First thing I bought my wife, and it was only 1 or 2 weeks after we were there, went out and got a whole set of stainless steel cookware. And it was cheap, but it was still way better than the Jiffy Pot. It was $500-$600 EC for that cook pot, them pans. But we made it work because things weren't important. What was important, within a month, whatever, we had 14 people coming to that little apartment. We would push the kitchen table out. We could get 14 chairs in there. I had to preach underneath the steps that went upstairs because there was no room. And we had church. Man, we had this little girl. She was a worshiper. And when you can worship when I'm singing, I mean, you're doing pretty good, you know. Because I was the song leader. I was like, okay, Lord. And we just had church. And God just made it grow and go and grow. And we didn't have much. Man, Mom would be teaching Bible studies. Ladies would come over from their noon hour break, and she would feed them and then teach them. And the one lady, Magdalene, she goes, could I have another sandwich? And so Mom said, yeah, okay. So she makes another sandwich for her and gives it to her. And then after Magdalene leaves, Ben and Lance go, how come she gets 2 sandwiches and we only get 1? It's because that's all we can afford. But maybe that's the only food she got all day. See, you can go without or with less when you know you're ministering to somebody else. Right? Come on. Right? So, 2 that turned around. 1 that had faith in God saying, I know you can make me whole. Or the one that turned around for her stuff. Where are we headed, church? I hope we all have a heart and a love for man and not for stuff. Amen? So I'm asking you tonight, why don't you come to this altar, and I want you to talk to Jesus about you. Say, Lord, just exactly where am I at in this scope? Am I more like Lot's wife, or am I like the one leper that was just thankful and I believed you that you could do anything? Because both of them turned around. And see, read one more time. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. So, the altar's open, but really, have a sincere talk with Jesus. Say, Lord, where am I at in my life right now? Because what I really want to do is please you, and I want to be able to minister unto others. I want to see these signs, wonders, and miracles take place. I want to be a part of what you want to do in this world right now. Amen. Altar's open.
I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. Oh, I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, give you all I am. It's by your will, for your pleasure I exist. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. It's by I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. It's by your will, for your pain. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. to worship you, Father. To worship you, Father, Father, to worship you.
Very much, Brother Lenny, for ministering to us tonight. We love and appreciate you, Sister Kathy, and your family. Thank you for just making it plain. And, if you would like to take, and I know a lot of us support Lenny and Kathy, if you'd like to continue to do that, just continue with your offerings and such the way you have been. They're a little different than most missionaries that come through, and but we do appreciate them and their family so very much, and we want to continue to support them and continue to keep them in our prayers. So thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Sunday, I try to give a little bit on each service. Sunday morning, I'll be speaking in our pastor's Bible study. We've been talking about teachability. Lord, teach us. We talked about how teachable are we, and then we talked about how well do we listen. And there's so many voices in the world today, so many voices. And how do I know that I'm hearing the voice of God my life? And we're going to talk about that on Sunday morning. And then Brother Jerry Simmons is going to follow that up in our second service, and he'll be speaking in our second service. So thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Thank you to our worship team, Brother Derek, Brother Dan. Thank you so very much. Good to see Brother Dan Powell back playing the drums. So God bless you all. We will see you on Sunday.